Okay, good morning. Right, I'm glad to be here. How are you guys doing? How are you guys doing? Yeah, must be good now. All right. So I'm glad to see that all of you are in church. And I really believe that God has a blessing for all of us today. Okay, turn to the next, the one next to you to say, God has a blessing for you today. Say it like you really mean it. God has a blessing for you today. All right, come, let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing love for all of us. We thank you, O God, that your word says where two or three are gathered in your midst, O God, Lord, you are with us. You are in our midst. And Lord, we know, O God, just now, even through worship, that some of us could already sense your presence. We could already sense you speaking to our hearts and blessing us, ministering to us. So we are so grateful. Right now we pray, oh God, that you will continue to speak to us, continue to be with us through the preaching of your word. And we pray, oh Father, that there will be no distraction, that our hearts will be good soil, that the seed of your word as it's planted in our hearts, oh God, will grow, will germinate. And we pray, oh Father, that you enable us to hear and listen to you clearly. So bless us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, life does not always work according to plan. All right. Any one of you can remember who said this? Cannot, huh? Yeah. But in August 24th, how many of you remember Pastor Bin? Pastor Bin, Sun Life Church, Perth, right? So he was preaching on 24th August. He had traveled all the way from Perth to Singapore, all right, on the 23rd. And when he landed, he opened up, he switched on his phone and he realized that there were many missed calls. And when he called back, he realized that his church building was burnt down, totally destroyed. Okay, he shared this, that life does not always work according to plan. Thank God, no one was injured, but everything that they had, they took time to build, was destroyed. Can you imagine the despair, the worry? He thought about flying back. He shared that he thought about flying back to Perth immediately. All right, we can understand that because his members, his staff would be looking for him to solve many of the problems that needs to be solved after the fire. He could have gone back and none of us would blame him. Maybe except for SP, because then SP have to preach on Sunday. But other than that, none of us would blame him because we can understand. Despite the tremendous problem, Pastor Bin said that he sensed that he needs to stay behind to deliver the message of God, that God has prepared. God wanted him to prepare for LSBC. And the message was titled, Trusting in the Midst of Suffering. What an irony, right? A sermon about Job, about a man who encountered great suffering and a man who had lost everything, his health, his wealth, his family, everything. So I think Pastor Bin must have felt like Job at that point of time. If it was me, I would not be in the right frame of mind to preach a message. But Pastor Bin did. He stayed. He delivered the message. It was a trial by fire. I was really moved by his experience. You see, Pastor Bin is a good man. His church is a good church, doing good things in the community. They did nothing to deserve the bad fortune. But everyone who lived long enough would know that in life, there's ups, there's downs. All right? So what do you do when life throws curveballs at you? Well, what is a curveball? A curveball refers to an unexpected, shocking, or difficult event that disrupts plans and even changes. It can change your direction. You're caught off guard. You could be knocked down, off balance. And for some of you, the curveball could be a sickness that you or your family is battling. For some, it's a financial situation, difficulties at the workplace, a failed business, failed investment. And for others, it is a problematic relationship between couples, husband and wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, at home, at work, between friends. Regardless of who you are, troubles and trials will come your way at some point in your life. We can try to prepare, but they usually strike when we least expect it. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do when life throws curveballs at you? Well, I'm going to use the Gospel of John, chapter 16, to talk about this. Jesus said many things, all right? He faced that problems. During that phase, during that time, he faced extreme trouble in his life, but he said many things. And I'm going to give you some background before reading this few verses. The Bible says that people are separated from God because of sin. And God loved the world so much, loved people so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to save them. His purpose was to reconcile man back to God so that we can have a relationship with Him, so that we can be connected to Him and we can enjoy life, eternal life. While He was on earth, He did many things, great things among the people, and He told them the plans and the purposes of God. Jesus had 12 disciples, and these disciples had seen Him perform signs, wonders, and miracles, and they left everything to follow Jesus, their family, their career, their future, because Jesus had a powerful message from God, and He was growing in influence and prominence. I believe that the disciples want a life of significance. They want to do great things with Jesus. And they thought that it was a turning point of their life. They were en route to be successful, right? It was an exciting time for them. They followed Jesus for 3 years. And then Jesus started talking about strange things. Okay, so they're a bit puzzled, right? He talked about going to a place where they could not follow. And before they knew it, suddenly, they were hit by the most devastating curveball of their life. Their master, Jesus, was going to be framed, arrested, and persecuted by powerful, wicked people who were jealous and threatened by His influence. Then, so in John chapter 16, Jesus was sharing with His disciples, and He predicted that the wicked people were coming for Him. Just before He was arrested, He spoke these words to prepare His disciples for the crisis. John chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. "I've told you these things so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogues or temples. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you would think that he's offering a service to God." Verses 32 and 33. "Look, an hour is coming and has already come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Just in these few verses, Jesus revealed so much about His character and His compassion for the disciples. He had shared these verses to help them prepare for the pain and the suffering that was about to come. But what's more amazing to me is that this compassion, these words, his compassion, is still available for all of us today. So let me share with you what I have learned through these verses on how we can use this to handle the curveballs in our lives. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation or trouble. Tribulation, a bit more chim, the word, but or trouble, simply said. That in the world, we will have trouble. That is guaranteed, confirmed, all right? Double confirmed. So long as we are in the world, we will face difficulties, we will have difficult situations, because why? We live in a world with imperfect people, right? An imperfect world with imperfect people. When imperfect people start to interact, they may exploit one another in life just to get ahead. And these interactions will cause frictions, will cause conflicts, will cause quarrels, and wars are started because of all this as well. As a result, people will suffer, and some of us will suffer, will become victims of such exploitations. The situation is made worse because of the constant striving to get ahead, and this causes a stressful environment motivated by sinful attributes like greed, like pride, like lust. Such environment can then affect people's mental, emotional, and physical well-being. We can try our best to manage all these situations, the environment, but the environment is generally beyond our control. Furthermore, accidents can happen, sickness can hit, natural disasters can strike. For us in Singapore, we are grateful, no natural disasters. But many places around the world, natural disasters can strike. Life is unpredictable. Environment can change. In the world, there will be trouble. That's what Jesus said. I think all of us can identify with it. Then Jesus said, you will leave me all alone. When Jesus was on earth, the Bible said that he had to suffer. He had to suffer the same troubles that, like you and I. That is why he can understand the situations we are going through and the feelings we have about it. One of the sufferings that Jesus had to endure was this suffering called abandonment, being all alone. Jesus was foretelling his disciples that when the soldiers come, when the soldiers come to arrest him, the disciples will scatter and they will leave him all alone. He knew what it's like to be all alone, but he said that while people may abandon him, he knew that God the Father is with him. That is a character trait of the Father. That's a character trait of God, that God will not leave the one he loves alone. When hit with a curveball, the sense of abandonment or the feeling of being left alone is real. Some people here are fortunate, some of you, fortunate to have family members, friends, to provide that support, who are close enough, who will gather around you to support you. But there are some amongst us who are less fortunate because we have little or no support. We are left on our own. No matter how close we are to the support group or how close the support group are to us, no one can fully understand the trauma, the pain, and the suffering. But Jesus understands because he went through those sufferings as well. In fact, immense suffering all the way to the cross. All the disciples ran away. They hid themselves because they were confused. They were confused and afraid. They had abandoned their master. Jesus was left alone, right? But what I found so amazing through the scriptures was that Jesus did just opposite. Just before he ascended to heaven, he told his disciples, and remember, I am with you always until the end of time. The disciples left him all alone, but Jesus did the opposite. Jesus promised to be with them. Jesus promised to be with us always until the end of time. In fact, another name for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And that is God's promise to us even for today, that He will be with us always. That's what I sense some of you need to hear today, that you are not alone because God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. Regardless of the trouble that you have, you can call out to God and He will answer you. He will hear you and He will answer you. You're very serious. Okay, turn to the one next to you and say, don't be so serious. Even though it's a serious topic, lah. All right. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He was about to be arrested, beaten, crucified. Yet Jesus was still concerned for His disciples. He wanted them to have peace despite the crisis. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He wants also for you to have peace. No matter what the situation you are facing, what crisis you are facing. The truth is, the first thing that you will lose in a crisis is peace. The first thing that we lose is peace. Our hearts get disturbed. Our mind gets disturbed. You may feel pain. You may feel fear. An overwhelming sense of helplessness. The mind is filled with what-if scenarios. And these feelings repeat itself day in and day out. Sleep is disrupted. The mind and the body gets weaker. There's no end in sight. Just in case you think that preachers are exempted from all this. Maybe share a bit about myself so that we know we are the same. All right? That actually, while preparing for this period of time, it has been difficult for me at the workplace. I'm facing a work situation that potentially can cause a need to pay large sums of money because of some things that we have done or we have not done. I mean, I can't share the details, but it troubles me, right? Even now, it troubles me. Sometimes it disrupts my sleep. But I'm thankful that before going to sleep, I can still turn around and ask God, God, help me. In fact, I've been using the term, God, help me, so many times, just to let you know the kind of trouble that I feel. Then situations at home, like my mother-in-law, my wife, and this is my wife a lot, cancer relapse, recovering. So it disturbs her as well. The only thing different between her and me is that she can sleep, I cannot. So I always say, maybe God loves her more because the Bible says God gives sleep to those He loves. So, yeah, I got to think, process that with God now, huh? But of course, the truth is also, this one is my fault. Because why? Every morning, before she goes about her routines, when she wakes up, the first thing that she does is pray. She'll spend time praying, right? She spend time with God. While she pray, I sleep. Because I sleep late, ma. Yeah, right? Not my fault, right? Anyway, Jesus has another name. His name is Prince of Peace. He can give you inner peace. He can give us inner peace that's beyond understanding. It stems from that relationship with God. The peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of a confidence in God, that God is in control. I will say again, all right? It is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of a confidence in God, that God is in control. That's why I think Pastor Bin, just now I talked about Pastor Bin, he could stay and continue to preach, right? Even though the church was burned down, even though people are looking for him, lots of noises, lots of things spinning probably in his mind. He is confident that God is in control, even though Pastor Bin probably does not understand things fully. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid." The peace that the world gives is contingent on the removal of trouble. But Jesus wants you to have peace even when you are in the midst of trouble. The peace is found only in Him because of the confidence and the belief that He is in control. And that is why this is so important for you to know, for you to believe, for you to hold close in your heart that Jesus is with you and He is for you. The fourth point that I want to make is about courage. Jesus said, "Take courage." What does it mean to take courage? It is to encourage yourself to bravely confront those difficult situations and to act in spite of feeling afraid or anxious. Courage. Courage is finding the strength to move forward. When faced with curveballs, fears and anxiety can paralyze you. Sometimes we do not know what to do. We are paralyzed. The sense of hopelessness can suck the energy out of you. We all want an escape valve from our trouble. But we need to face the reality that sometimes God will allow us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Such journeys are long and tedious, and we all know that there are things to do, things to settle, responsibility to uphold, but sometimes it's so difficult to carry on. For some of you, I applaud you because you have carried this burden by yourself through sheer grit and determination. In many cases, the love that you have for your family, the love that you have for your loved ones is your source of strength and energy. But today, I'm recommending a better way. You need not bear those burdens alone by yourself because courage and strength can be found in Jesus. Do you know that these words, "be strong and courageous," is mentioned in the Bible for 15 times? All right, God mentioned it 15 times. And when these words were spoken, it usually means that God is with the people. God is with His people and He will act on their behalf. He will act with them. So He tells His people, be strong and courageous. Do not give up. I remember that I mentioned earlier that Jesus said He'll be with you. Well, if God, the creator of the universe, is with you, then I believe that He will act on your behalf as well. God will act on your behalf. And then when you run out of strength and energy to carry on, this is what God says in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Listen, and some of you need to receive that into your spirit. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will surely help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right arm." When you have run out of strength, Jesus will carry you. So, brothers and sisters, take courage. Do not give up. Press on. God is with you. So now I'll be sharing with you a video, a recording about the testimony of a brother in LSBC. He has gone through loss and pain, and it was a curveball that he did not expect at all. So even though the journey was difficult, he found peace and courage. And then when he looked back, he realized that God has been with him all this while through the journey. So let us now listen to his testimony. You know, nothing could have prepared Nicholas or his family from this curveball. Right? I cannot imagine anyone suffering from dementia at age 55. Because I'm 56 this year, I can't imagine that, right? the impact on him, the impact on his family. But Nick told me when we were talking with him, right? Nick told me that he had to give up his business because he felt he had to keep an eye on his wife, right? He was afraid that things might happen at home. And remember, at that point of time, he doesn't have the helper yet, right? It was all on him. He felt alone. He felt helpless. Why? Because it's beyond his control. The things that he's experiencing was beyond his control. However, he prayed for peace. He prayed for strength to journey on because of the love that he has for his family, because of the love that he has for his wife. He was trying his best to keep things together. I think some of us can identify with that, trying to keep things together when all around, right, things are changing and there are many, many factors that's beyond your control, trying to keep things together. Then as the saying goes, misfortune never come alone. Misfortune never comes alone. He suffered, right? He suffered severe backache and was diagnosed as kidney cancer. Whatever peace, whatever courage he had, whatever strength that he had to keep things together, all crumbled. It was too much for him to bear, so he had to cry out to God, 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 have we not suffered enough? Have we not suffered enough? So friends, I do not know why his wife has to suffer dementia. That's why I've got no answer. This thing I learned from Nick, this man, a good man, we spent some time talking, listening, understanding. He said, avoid. He told himself, avoid asking why. Because he knew no matter how good the answer is, it will not be the right answer. It will not be enough. So he avoided asking why. He said that he learned to ask what. What is God doing in that situation? What is God asking me to do next? What should I be doing next? How should I be responding? Don't ask why, but ask what. Then it was only later that he realized that God was orchestrating something good out of the bad situation, the back situation, right? The backache was really bad. If not for the pain, he would not have discovered the cancer, all right? The cancer on the kidney. He had no time to share this, but he realized, the doctor told him after they investigated that the cancer is a very aggressive form of cancer. So initially, by right, he was referred to the polyclinic. The polyclinic referred him to the hospital, and just to scan the back alone, the wait was 5 months. You know what I'm saying? Long wait, all right? And not sure whether can detect, because it's the, by the way, coincidentally, they saw a shadow, they saw something happening in the kidney. The scan was on the back, not the kidney. So it was coincidental, right? Then through a series of coincidental events, what happens was, then God arranged for a good surgeon, all right? He went to see his back, I guess it's orthopedic, and then, next door, got the surgeon. You want to go and see him or not? Because of the shadow and that sort of thing. Through coincidental events, God arranged for the surgeon to remove that kidney, that cancerous kidney, in just 6 weeks. 6 weeks after discovery. And then the surgery was so successful that he was able to stand. All right, he was able to stand and to conduct a 2 day workshop. He's a freelance speaker, lecturer. So he conducted a 2 day workshop, standing and teaching all that, just 12 days after that surgery. It is a miracle. Don't you agree? Right? Wouldn't you agree? Nicholas saw the hand of God move in his life. He knew that God was with him. And that's why he had that peace. Nicholas also saw God provided him with a helper that loved him and his wife like a daughter, he mentioned. Okay, to this day, they are still in contact. She has gone back to the Philippines already. All right? He said that it was God sent because they have provided him with so much peace, so much relief, so much help at that point of time. And to gain someone so close at that difficult situation is unheard of. Actually, there are many more evidences of God's hand moving in their lives. No time, otherwise the video will take 15 minutes, you know. I've got to keep all of you back. So he was talking about how God protected him, preserved his family through accidents, all right? And then when the resources was coming, drying up, that God provided for him other resources as well. So some of you may say that these are coincidences. All right. Can I have the worship team, please? It just coincidence. Things like that sometimes happen. But you see, when you trust God enough, when you learn to trust God and you learn to call on Him and pray upon Him, then you realize that, coincidences happen more often. You ask your friends, your Christian friends and kind of things, when you start to pray, you realize that coincidences will happen more frequently. And sometimes, after a while, you will realize that cannot be so coincidental, right? You soon realize that maybe there is a higher power at work. Maybe someone is watching out for you. Maybe someone is taking care of you, even though you may not be aware or you may not notice. God is at work. God is at work sometimes when our eyes don't see it. He's in the background. That is the love of God. So, brothers and sisters, where can you find peace when you're down and out? And where can you find courage and strength when you're too tired, too weary to journey on? You can find that in God because God says, I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will surely help you. I will uphold you. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Brothers and sisters, you see, Jesus said He will never leave you alone. Jesus said He will never leave you alone. And in Him, you can find peace. You can find courage. You can find strength. You see, He can grant you all this because He has overcome the world. What does it mean by being overcoming the world? When He came, when God sent Him here, He died for our sins. And in dying for our sins, He has created that connection. He has reconciled us back to God so that we can have access to God. We are reconnected to God. Once again, He paid the penalty for our sin. He paved the way for us to be connected back to God again. And then when He resurrected after 3 days, some of you might have heard the story that He resurrected after 3 days. What was He demonstrating? That death, and sin has no power over Him. He's the Son of God. He's the giver of life. And He cares for you immensely. I've been praying for you for the last few days, you know. And those of you who were here in the last 2 weeks, you will realize that the 3 weeks sermons was all about suffering. 3 weeks of suffering, you know, y'all went through. Yeah. So I was asking God, Why so coincidental? What are you trying to say? Because why? The preachers didn't coordinate. All right? 3 weeks of suffering. So then I felt God say that in our midst, there are people who are not doing too well, difficult times. All right? And because of that difficult times, I just sense God says that He wants me to communicate that He loves you. He loves you deeply. He is with you. He's for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That we can turn to Him. God is with you. I think that's what God is trying to say to him. Besides that, this morning when I was worshiping, he zoomed in, you know, he gave me more details. He was just trying to tell me this, that in our midst, there are faithful Christians, brothers and sisters who have been faithfully serving God, faithfully journeying. Life has been difficult. There's no reprieve. It's wave after wave. But deep inside, while you try to trust God, and you do trust God, there's this feeling that, God, how come it's happening to others? How come other people are enjoying that breakthrough? Why not me? Why not me? So I just sense God also is trying to tell you that He is with you. He is working. Even though you may not sense it, your eyes may not see it. That's what God's saying. He has not abandoned you. He is with you. Maybe can we stand? If God has orchestrated the preaching on that to communicate a message, then let us take it seriously. If there are issues in our life, if there are things in our life that it's difficult, it's beyond us, the environment, the situation, maybe it's time to surrender to God, to trust God, and to listen from Him that He is with you. And even though our eyes don't see it, our mind cannot comprehend, that God will orchestrate that breakthrough for us, that God can orchestrate that breakthrough that we need. Jesus wants you to know that He understands and He will act on your behalf. So in a short while, the worship leader will sing, and as he sings, allow the lyrics to speak to you. And I just want you, those of you who sense the tugging of God, that God is speaking to your heart, that you want Him to act on your behalf, maybe to come forward, all right, to have a transaction with God so that you can lay down your burdens and in exchange, receive His peace, His courage, His strength, His energy, His love, all right? So later on, when the altar is open, come forward. But I'm speaking to another group. You have not yet been, you are not yet a believer. And some things that I spoke about today spoke to you. There's a tugging. There's a certain stirring in your heart. And you know that you need God. And you may want to try God. And I say it's all right to say you want to try God because God wants to be tried. God wants you to try Him in this, that His love for you is so wide. Right? You need not sort out your life first. Some of you say, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to sort out my life. No, you need not do any of that. God is asking you to come to Him. You don't need to do anything yet. Just receive His forgiveness. Just receive His love. You come forward, maybe you come over to the right side of the stage. We'll pray for you. Leaders will pray for you. So right now, can I invite you to close your eyes? All right. Have that transaction with God. And as the worship team sings and ministers, listen to these words and allow it to speak to you. Come.
It's always there for you, even in the darkest times. Don't despair, He's with you even now. My God is so faithful. You never leave you alone. God is good. You always see through it all. I know that my God is in control. Like the sun after the storm, His love comes shining through. Yes, I know. His love for me is greater than all your trials. Like a child in His arms, He carried you home.
The altar is open. do come forward. Exchange. Don't hold back anymore. Exchange. It's time for blessings. And God wants to bless you. Come forward. Come forward.